and accountability. I'm Pam Puso, Fox News. That's what the Senate's Democratic leader says the impeachment trial of former President Trump will provide. Opening arguments have been pushed to the week of February 8th to allow both sides time to prepare.
House impeachment managers led by Maryland Democrat Jamie Raskin will walk a single article of impeachment from the House to the Senate Monday night, the first step in a Senate impeachment trial unlike any previously. The House impeached former President Trump for incitement of insurrection, accusing him of encouraging a violent mob that stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th.
Fox's Jared Halpern in Washington. The delay also gives the Senate time to confirm President Biden's cabinet nominations and consider his COVID relief bill. Immediate economic relief was the focus behind two more executive orders signed by the president.
We cannot, will not let people go hungry. We cannot let people be evicted because of nothing they did themselves. They cannot watch people lose their jobs, and we have to act.
One of the orders expands food assistance and delivers stimulus checks to very low-income Americans. Many Republicans believe the orders are too costly. Hundreds of protesters are being rounded up in Russia. According to a monitoring group, they're demanding that opposition leader Alexei Navalny be released from jail. Someone in Michigan is waking up a winner. One winning ticket was sold there for the $1 billion Mega Millions jackpot.
The Mega Millions last jackpot winner was September 15th, and before Friday night, the lottery had 37 straight drawings with no top prize winner.
Fox says Chris DeMeo, the jackpot is the third largest lottery prize in U.S. history. America's listening to Fox News.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-908-1755. That's 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
President Biden's cancellation of the Keystone XL pipeline will cost jobs in both the U.S. and Canada. But Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says, despite his concern, the two countries are much more aligned on other matters. Senate Republican Steve Daines of Montana tells Fox News the president is yielding to far-left radical extremists.
These are union jobs. And I hope they see really where the Democrats are. They're no longer a friend of the American worker. They are friends with the radical left Green New Deal side of the party. This is a huge mistake.
The president argues new jobs will be created as the country moves away from fossil fuels towards cleaner energy sources. In a couple of days, another White House cabinet nominee could be confirmed. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says the chamber will vote Monday on Janet Yellen for Treasury Secretary. Thousands of National Guard troops are heading home from the nation's capital while others prepare for an extended stay. The Guard says 5,000 members will remain in Washington through mid-March to provide support to federal agencies.
Thursday, the Guard said 7,000 troops will remain in Washington through the end of January. But there's concern among some officials that protesters might return to D.C. for the original inauguration day in the U.S., March 4th. Over 100 National Guard members of the 26,000 in the nation's capital for the inauguration have tested positive for the coronavirus. At the Pentagon, Lucas Tomlinson, Fox News.
Nothing says thank you like homemade chocolate chip cookies. First Lady Jill Biden delivered a basket of cookies to National Guard members yesterday, thanking them for keeping her family safe during President Joe Biden's inauguration on Wednesday. Biden's late son, Beau, who was a member of Delaware's Army National Guard, spent a year deployed in Iraq. I'm Pam Puso, and this is Fox News.
in Virginia and Vienna on 66 both east and westbound, right about at exit 60 in Fairfax at 123. There was overnight road work closing down the roadway. However, looks like they are in the process of picking that up. They've picked it up on the westbound side, and they should be picking it up on the eastbound side momentarily. On 95 northbound just south of Courthouse Road, an accident there has been moved over to the shoulder. So just a brief tap on the brakes making your way through that area. No issues reported so far on the Capitol Beltway throughout Maryland and Virginia. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WML Stormwatch 7 forecast.
A wintry chill has settled in across the DMV this morning. We're starting off with temperatures in the 20s and feels like temperatures in the teens at times. A gusty northwest wind will continue for the rest of the day, so highs in the mid to upper 30s this afternoon will still feel like the 20s. Sunshine is our saving grace. Tomorrow expect more clouds, less wind, and highs in the upper 30s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
The market is constantly changing. The Marketplace Minute keeps you up to date 1 minute at a time before your morning exercise.
Alexa, play Marketplace Minute. All operators file for bankruptcy.
While organizing your receipts.
Hey Siri, play Marketplace Minute.
Says it's been spending more on hiring.
During your afternoon snack.
Hey Google, play the Marketplace Minute.
For upward swings in indices in Europe and Asia.
The Marketplace Minute, a podcast and smart speaker briefing updated 3 times daily. Ask your smart speaker to play the Marketplace Minute. Listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
Hey, psst. Yeah, you. You want to buy some low-priced groceries?
Just follow me into this well-lit Lidl grocery store. Here at Lidl, we buy in bulk and cut down on costs wherever possible. Then we pass the savings on to you. Trust me, everything's done totally legit and above board. Nothing to be worried about. Yep, Lidl's pretty great. It's just your run-of-the-mill grocery store, except with way, way, way lower prices. Lidl. Suspiciously low-priced groceries.
Fast Wi-Fi. You use it to connect just about everything, which means having really fast Wi-Fi matters. A lot. That's why Xfinity is breaking the gig barrier and introducing Wi-Fi speeds faster than a gig. That's a big deal. It's a big deal for streaming big games, having big meetings, and making big plans. It's a big deal for families with one kid, or two kids, or three kids. Especially if there's one kid who has enough devices for 10 kids. It's a big deal for gamers who are streaming while someone else is posting about their virtual spin class. And yet, it's also a big deal for a quiet Friday night in. So get in on Wi-Fi speeds faster than a gig. That's more than enough speed to power every device in the house. Can your internet do that? Introducing gig speeds over Wi-Fi. It's the fastest Wi-Fi you can get, and it's only from Xfinity. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store to learn more. Restrictions apply. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed.
2020 was a year of remarkable challenges and of remarkable support from Virginia's skill game companies. Virginia Skill Games will generate nearly $140 million for Virginia's COVID-19 Relief Fund. Critical funds that will help save thousands of Virginia small businesses, countless Virginia jobs, and provide much-needed financial support for local communities. Virginia Skill Games. We're not just creating entertainment. We're helping people and saving jobs.
This ad was paid for by the Virginia Skill Alliance.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler, Jeff Wolf behind the console, Jane Houtman, our producer this morning, and it's been a week of unity in Washington, a week of unity in America. The theme of President Biden's inaugural address, unity lasting about as long as the inaugural address lasted this week. If you are one of over 70 million Americans who voted for President Trump, you've now been shamed and scolded by the Democrats and the media. The next step is to deprogram Trump voters. Twitter and Facebook now won't allow many Republican leaders to communicate with their followers anymore. Welcome to Joe Biden's Unified America, the man who promised to be your president, whether you voted for him or not. Among the unifying activities this week were 30 executive orders issued by President Biden. President Trump issued one executive order on his first day in the White House. And a number of these, of the 30 executive orders, 10 were reversals of Trump administration policies. Now, these are basically done without any explanation or apparent consideration of any ramifications. The idea of rejoining the Paris Climate Accord without putting any conditions on China, who doesn't really have to abide by any of the regulations until 2030, if we just go back into that one with no conditions, I don't know how smart a move that is. The Keystone XL pipeline, we'll get into that in a minute. That was a real gem because Canada is very upset about it. We'll talk about that in a moment. But this whole notion of unity, the tone, the way the Democrats have just taken the impeachment and are running with the impeachment trial now of the president, we'll talk about that shortly. But the whole notion of unity that we heard so much about, maybe I'm being a little overcritical or sensitive, but there are other people who feel the same way I do, including Congressman Dan Crenshaw.
Now, they're going to keep talking about unity, but they don't want to unify behind anything that the American working class might actually want. Canceling the Keystone Pipeline, that's tens of thousands of union jobs. Union jobs, by the way, that pay a lot better than jobs for, say, solar and wind. Okay, on average, $20,000 better pay for oil and gas jobs than for solar and wind. And by the way, most of those jobs for solar and wind manufacturing, those are in China. Okay, so that's what Pete Buttigieg is talking about when he says other jobs. He's not talking about good-paying American jobs. And they need to confront this fact. And they need to confront the fact that when you drastically raise the minimum wage all of a sudden to $15 an hour, you're going to cut out millions of jobs across America. That's not according to me. That's according to the Congressional Budget Office. I've got small businesses in my district begging me to do something about this. You can't let them do this, they say. We will immediately lose our business. We're already hanging on by a thread. So listen, here's what it comes down to. If you're going to claim that you're the party of the American working class, you actually have to support working. All right, that's a requirement to be a working class party, and they just won't do that.
Well, how did Senator Tom Cotton feel about the whole concept of unity this week?
Joe Biden's first week has been very disappointing. You know, he stopped construction of the border wall. He even ended the Remain in Mexico policy, where migrants trying to approach our southern border for bogus asylum claims were staying in Mexico, and the Mexican government was cooperating with us. Now we're going to be releasing them into the country once again to show up, perhaps, at a hearing months or years from now. He might as well just hang up a big open for crossing sign at our southern border. You see 7,000-9,000 people in a caravan now. Just wait till it's 70 or 90,000 because of Joe Biden's open border policy. At a time when we're facing a global pandemic and we can't confirm if these migrants have or have not had the coronavirus, and when tens of millions of Americans are still looking for work or trying to get hours back, we're going to bring in more foreign workers to undercut their wages and take their jobs away from them. That is putting American workers last.
And Tom Cotton had a little more to say about jobs.
And I can't think of another president who took office and consciously decided to eliminate American jobs. I mean, the Keystone Pipeline alone generates more than 10,000 high-paying, blue-collar jobs. And then when you add on to that all the obligations and commitments the Obama administration made to the Paris Climate Accord, you're talking about jobs in the oil patch, in the coal mines, in fracking, in building pipelines, in transporting that, in processing it into electricity. Tens of thousands of jobs that Joe Biden eliminated with the stroke of a pen merely because it's fashionable in his party to oppose any energy source that comes from fossil fuels.
All right, so we heard from a Republican congressman. We heard from a Republican senator, former Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. How does he feel about all this?
On the Biden administration's very first day, it took several big steps in the wrong direction. There's still plenty of time for President Biden to remember that he does not owe his election to the far left. The president can and should refocus his administration on creating good-paying American jobs, not sacrificing our people's livelihoods to liberal symbolism.
Okay, so that's a sense of how the Republicans are feeling about this so-called unity. Boy, that honeymoon didn't last 24 hours now, did it? And remember how Biden, you know, the whole idea of putting Biden in for so many Americans was, well, you know, he knows how to work with the Republicans and he'll be reaching out across the aisle and we'll have a return to normalcy and everything will be coming up roses. Well, not exactly. So let us move on to impeachment. Now, the latest is that the one article of impeachment, will move to the Senate on Monday. Here's Chuck Schumer explaining the process, and toward the end of it, you may want to pay a little particular attention because you'll hear something and you go, did he really say that? But here's Chuck Schumer explaining the entire impeachment process.
The fact is the House will deliver the article of impeachment to the Senate. The Senate will conduct a trial of the impeachment of Donald Trump. It will be a full trial. It will be a fair trial. But make no mistake, there will be a trial, and when that trial ends, senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the insurrection against the United States.
That may be the one speech that Chuck Schumer is remembered for in history. How did Bernie Sanders feel about it? Well, how do you think he felt about it?
I want to see this impeachment process move forward. I want to see him convicted as quickly as possible. We have got to show the American people that we can walk and chew bubblegum at the same time. We don't have the time to spend weeks and months on impeachment.
Have you seen the pictures of Bernie with the mittens? Let's just go online. Just search Bernie Sanders mittens. It's rather hilarious. A lady in New Hampshire, she knitted the mittens, and he wore them at the inauguration. There's a picture, and it's just memes everywhere. It's really funny. And the irony of the whole thing is the lady can't produce them anymore because it costs her too much in taxes to do that. Those are a couple of comments on impeachment on the Democratic side. Now, Ken Starr, you see him from time to time on the different cable news channels. Really, really bright attorney. And he's had a history in these kinds of things. And here's what Ken Starr has to say about impeachment. And this is really kind of the question, is the constitutionality of impeaching a former president. And as Ken Starr lays out, isn't the Constitution about impeaching a sitting president, not a former president? And here's how he explains it.
It is a matter of constitutional law because, for the simple reason, Donald Trump is not the president of the United States. I hope that we'll get a soft, as it were, motion to dismiss from the Chief Justice of the United States, when, as I assume he will be if he hasn't been invited to preside, that I hope that he will respond politely but firmly with a letter that says, the president of the United States is not on trial. The former president of the United States mm-hmm. is on trial. Under the Constitution, I have no business being there.
And that's Ken Starr, of course. But I think the Speaker of the House, Madam Pelosi, really kind of sums it up as really to how we all feel so positive about the idea of impeachment.
The fact is, the president of the United States committed an act of incitement of insurrection. I don't think it's very unifying to say, oh, let's just forget it and move on. That's not how you unify.
Well, impeaching is not exactly how you unify either, Madam Speaker, but it's your opinion. It is 6:18. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
In Virginia, in Fredericksburg, getting reports of a crash now, and this is on Route 1, both north and southbound at the Spotsylvania Parkway, so do watch out for some delays in the area. On 66, both east and westbound, right in the vicinity of exit 60 at 123, there was some overnight road work, but looks like they are picking that up at this time. You may still find some lane restrictions, so do use caution traveling through the area. Right now, if you're traveling in the district, you will find that a portion of the Suitland Parkway is closed in both directions between South Capitol Street and First Sterling Avenue due to weekend construction. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
A wintry chill has settled in across the DMV this morning. We're starting off with temperatures in the 20s and feels like temperatures in the teens at times. A gusty northwest wind will continue for the rest of the day, so highs in the mid to upper 30s this afternoon will still feel like the 20s. Sunshine is our saving grace. Tomorrow expect more clouds, less wind, and highs in the upper 30s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
It's 32 degrees in the nation's capital, 620 on WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
And we are talking about President Joe Biden's first 72 hours or so in office. And he's clearly ticked off the Republicans that he was supposedly going to be working so closely with. Now he's ticked off Canada. And you may say, oh, Rick, you're exaggerating. Well, I don't think so. He canceled the Keystone XL pipeline project. And that was a big deal to Canada, also a big deal to thousands of union workers. We'll get to that in a minute. But this is Jason Kenney. Now, he is the premier of Alberta. That's like being a governor in Canada. You're not a governor, you're a premier. He is the premier of Alberta, and here's what he had to say about President Biden's cancellation of the Keystone XL pipeline.
We have the biggest bilateral trade relationship in world history between Canada and the United States. But the biggest part of that trade is Canadian energy exports, largely from our province here of Alberta. We have the third largest oil reserves in the world. We ship about nearly $100 billion worth of energy to the U.S. every year. Keystone XL would have been a significant, safe, modern increase in that shipment. And it is very, it's very frustrating that one of the first acts of the new president was, I think, to disrespect America's closest friend and ally, Canada, to kill good-paying union jobs on both sides of the border, and ultimately to make the United States more dependent on foreign oil imports from OPEC dictatorships. We don't understand it, and at the very least, we believe that those who've invested in this project, trusting in the regulatory process in the U.S., should be compensated by the U.S. administration.
Wow, reparations for Canada there. Well, President Biden had a chat with the Premier Trudeau last night, the Canadian premier, and that was in the readout that they acknowledged that. That is a story, by the way, that you will not hear on CNN this morning, because I listen to CNN from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. to see what's on their mind. And that story is not on their mind, the irritation of Canada. So in the first 72 hours, the Republicans are upset, and our biggest trading partner in North America and one of our closest allies, Canada, is upset with the new president. Good work. Interesting over at CNN, they are reporting that new cases of coronavirus are trending downward in 47 states. Virginia, the only one where coronavirus is on the increase in reported cases. CNN reporting that coronavirus basically peaked 10 days ago in terms of new infections in the United States. 10 days ago it peaked, a week before President Trump left office. Now that Joe Biden is in office, CNN has taken down the on-screen coronavirus death toll counter. Remember that? It would flash up the entire campaign season. It flashed up all the way through President Trump's final days of the administration. But now, that little death toll counter is not there anymore on CNN. What a coincidence. I wonder if we'll continue to even hear the death toll count in America under the new administration. And now that apparently the new infections have peaked, Biden administration will take all the credit, but we'll see what happens. It's typical. Anyway, what do you expect? The $15 an hour minimum wage, that's going to go over real well with anybody in small business. Now, I know it's a good boost for those workers that would like to get an increase, and I get that. However, if you're in small business and you've been impacted so severely by coronavirus, and even if you're in small business, especially a little local mom-and-pop shops and things like that, they're on a shoestring budget to begin with, even before coronavirus. So when you whack them with a $15 an hour minimum wage, what happens? People will lose jobs. So that's not exactly the magic bullet, hiking the minimum wage to $15 an hour on the federal level. So we're going to see how that one plays out. I think buyer's remorse may be felt by a lot of Americans sooner than they think in terms of the Biden administration. What we're hearing in terms of some of these policies with the Keystone XL pipeline cancellation, that's going to ultimately create some problems in terms of energy costs. So bear in mind that you'll probably be paying more for energy The incoming Transportation Secretary, Pete Buttigieg, is talking about hiking the gasoline taxes. They haven't been hiked since 1993, so instead of leaving them alone so we don't get stung for more at the gas pump, no, let's take them up. We haven't taken them up since 1993, and we need to get more money, so expect Pete Buttigieg at the Department of Transportation to recommend hiking the gasoline taxes at the pump. So that's coming down the pipe. Joe Biden has promised that income taxes will go up. It's likely that capital gains taxes will go up. So for those of you that maybe had some political debates during the fall and people were so excited about the new Biden administration, once these policies start to kick in, we'll see how thrilled they are when taxes go up and capital gains taxes increase. And, boy, jobless numbers, big questions about what's going to happen on the jobless rate. And, you know, another thing on the Keystone XL pipeline, not only did they tick off the Canadians, they ticked off the unions. And that was not a good move because the unions are strong supporters of the Democratic Party. But a couple of the unions that are involved in that pipeline wrote scathing releases on what that impact will be to their union members. So, so far we got Republicans upset, we got Trump voters upset, we have Canada upset, and we have unions upset. And what is this, day four? 6:26 now on the Saturday Morning Update.
Have you stopped taking your statin? Over half of people will stop taking a statin in the first year due to muscle pain. Marley Drug offers the next generation statin, pitavastatin, which is different from most statins and has low rates of muscle pain. With a prescription, you can get pitavastatin for $1 a day. No insurance needed. Stop putting up with statin pain and call Marley Drug at 800-852-8976. That's 800-852-8976 or go to marleydrug.com.
Are you taking Cialis or Viagra? Marley Drug has generics of both for just $12 per tablet. That's a savings of $60 per dose. Marley Drug is an independent pharmacy delivering generic Cialis and Viagra to your door for $12 per tablet. Call Marley Drug at 800-852-8976. That's 800-852-8976. Again, 800-852-8976.
I can't tell you how many times I've been watching football and wanted to bet the game on my phone. Well, guess what? Now I can because FanDuel Sportsbook is officially live in Virginia. And to celebrate, they're kicking things off in a big way. New users get an exclusive 25-1 odds boost on any team to win during the conference championships this weekend. And that's just one of the reasons why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook app. They've got a secure and simple-to-use app and offer live betting on every game. Once you win on FanDuel Sportsbook, they get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours because it is the right thing to do. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with promo code VINCEC so they know I sent you. Right now, new users get an exclusive 25-1 odds boost on any team to win during the conference championships this weekend. That's right, 25-1 odds, any team. That's FanDuel Sportsbook. Promo code VINCEC.
21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. Said credit is non-withdrawable and expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, listen up, people. Someone in this apartment is using too much internet.
What? Amy, you don't live here.
Whoa, let's not make this personal. Have you tried gig speed internet from Xfinity?
I've heard about that. Can't you connect, like, a ton of devices?
That's correct, sir. So we can stream, game, face text, or whatever we want to do on all our devices at once.
We?
Oh, you'll barely notice me. Unrelated, does anyone have extra closet space?
Power your devices on the largest gig speed network. Can your internet do that? Get started with Xfinity Internet for $39.99 a month for 12 months with no term contract required. Or ask about the latest breakthrough from Xfinity, Wi-Fi speed faster than a gig. That's more than enough speed to power every device in the house. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay and 3/21/21. Restrictions apply. New Performance Pro 200 megabits per second customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After promo, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary and not guaranteed. Gig over Wi-Fi requires gig internet and compatible X-Fi gateway.
Many schools are still using remote online learning, so do you worry about the quality of education your son is getting? Vince Colonnais here, and I want to tell you about Fork Union Military Academy. They are now accepting enrollments for an in-person classroom experience with classes starting this January for their spring semester. Located in Central Virginia, Fork Union Military Academy is one of the nation's leading college prep boarding schools for young men in grades 7 through 12. Would your son learn better with a bit more structure? Fork Union's unique one-subject plan curriculum really works to help students reach their full potential. In fact, 100% of their graduating seniors gain college acceptance. Plus, Fork Union emphasizes traditional core values like respect, integrity, faith, character, and discipline. Help your son thrive at Fork Union. Learn more about their spring semester enrollments for a safe, on-campus, in-person learning experience, guaranteed to help your son achieve success in the classroom, in athletics, and in life. Visit ForkUnion.com. That's F-O-R-K-Union.com.
It's 6:30, and in the news at this hour on WMAL, a federal judge in Washington says a right-wing conspiracy theorist from Iowa seen prominently in videos during that U.S. Capitol police officer siege during the January 6th riot must remain in custody. The U.S. District Judge Timothy Kelly on Friday halting the release of Douglas Jensen that had been ordered by a federal magistrate judge in Iowa. Kelly ordered Jensen to be transported to Washington to face charges. The Iowa judge had allowed Jensen's release to home confinement in Des Moines, but gave federal prosecutors time to appeal. Kelly issued another order requiring U.S. Marshals to bring Jensen to Washington from Iowa forthwith. Opening arguments in the Senate impeachment trial for Donald Trump on the charge of incitement of insurrection will begin the week of February 8th. That is according to the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. He announced that schedule Friday evening. The House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, will send the article of impeachment against Trump to the Senate on Monday. The Senate Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, wanted to postpone the impeachment trial until February. His desire to give the former president time to prepare his case. He did welcome the agreement from Senator Schumer. The House impeaching Trump on a single charge of incitement of insurrection. President Trump, the former president, at Mar-a-Lago, and he was asked by a reporter about what he'll be doing next. The former president said, quote, "We'll do something, but just not yet." That was his words to the Washington Examiner's reporter as he sat at his regular table in the grill room of the Trump International Golf Club, and that also in Palm Beach, Florida, near Mar-a-Lago. So that is the latest on President Trump's words, and he's been very quiet this past week. 6:33, it is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Virginia, in Fredericksburg, there is an accident that is affecting both the north and the southbound lanes at Route 1 at the Spotsylvania Parkway. All lanes are closed in each direction due to this accident, so you'll want to avoid that area for the time being. Now, so far, if you're traveling on 95, everything looks good from the Spotsylvania area towards Dumfries, Woodbridge, and Springfield, and no delays on 395 from Etzel Road to the 14th Street Bridge. Looks like the work zone on 66 in the vicinity of 123 in Fairfax is being picked up, and you should find that traffic is now getting by, though you may still find a brief tap on the brakes. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
A wintry chill has settled in across the DMV this morning. We're starting off with temperatures in the 20s and feels like temperatures in the teens at times. A gusty northwest wind will continue for the rest of the day, so highs in the mid to upper 30s this afternoon will still feel like the 20s. Sunshine is our saving grace. Tomorrow expect more clouds, less wind, and highs in the upper 30s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
32 degrees, 634 in the nation's capital.
As Joe Biden becomes America's 46th president, so much is happening in Washington. And millions of Americans are turning to Newsmax, a news source they can trust. Newsmax is already America's fastest growing cable news channel. And Newsmax.com is your place for breaking news online. So download the Newsmax app now on your smartphone and start watching Newsmax TV for free. The app has no paywall and gives real news you can trust. Watch great shows with Greg Kelly, Grant Stinchfield, Dick Morris, Michelle Malkin, Diamond and Silk, Mike Huckabee, Alan Dershowitz, Sean Spicer, and a lot more. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. If you don't get Newsmax on cable, call your operator and tell them you want Newsmax. You can always switch to a new service that has Newsmax. Or watch Newsmax for free on Roku, YouTube, Apple TV, Zumo, TiVo Plus, Pluto, and smart TVs like Samsung and LG. Tune in today because Newsmax is real news for real people.
I can't tell you how many times I've been watching football and wanted to bet the game on my phone. Well, guess what? Now I can because FanDuel Sportsbook is officially live in Virginia. And to celebrate, they're kicking things off in a big way. FanDuel is giving new users their first bet risk-free. That's right. You'll get up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. And that's just one of the reasons why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook app. They've got a secure and simple-to-use app, offer live betting on every game, and you can collect your winnings in as little as 24 hours. With FanDuel, not only can you bet on all of your favorite teams, but you'll get up to $1,000 back if you don't win your first bet. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with promo code VINCEC so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook. Promo code VINCEC.
21 plus and present in VA. New users only. Must wager on designated Boost Market. Deposit required. Next bonus $125. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It is a Saturday morning update on WMAL. Glad that you have joined us, and it is always great to be joined by Jennifer Harper. She authors Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times and, of course, joins us every Saturday morning. Jennifer, how are you?
Oh, I'm probably just as tired as everybody else out there today. So good morning, everyone, and you're finally at the end of the week.
Well, it's the end of the week, and it's the end of the Trump era. Fascinating as we watch all this play out, the press conferences that Jen Psaki has had in the White House briefing room this week. Softball's the first day, and then it got a little dicier later in the week when she kept dodging basic questions that one would have hoped she would have answered. But the Democrats are inheriting a weighty task.
Well, that's right. I mean, you have to realize that after all of these many, many months of the campaign and the good natures and the unity and everything else that the Democrats were living on all this time, you have to remember they're now on the hottest hot seat in the world. You know, their dream has come true. They've got the White House, the House, the Senate, everything. But there's still much, 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 much work to be done. And you have to first ask, how do Americans actually feel about the chosen leadership here? And I got a couple of polls that are sort of an eye-opener. This is actually coming from CNN. They say that 49% of Americans have a favorable opinion of the Democratic Party, but 45% have an unfavorable opinion. We switch over to the Economist YouGov poll. It reveals that only 24% of Americans believe that Mr. Biden can bring the country together. That's a quarter of Americans believe that. Meanwhile, an NBC News poll found that the Democratic Party had an approval rating that is 39% positive and 42% negative. So that's not the best, but I want to read you here. This is coming from Mark Murray. He is actually the senior political editor for NBC News. So keep that in mind. This is what he says. When Joe Biden takes the oath, which he has, to become the country's 46th president, he will face an increasingly polarized, pessimistic, and pained nation. According to numbers from the latest NBC News poll, more than 7 in 10 voters believe the country is on the wrong track. Another 7 in 10 think the next 4 years will remain politically divided, and a majority say they are mainly worried and pessimistic about the nation's future. So that's not the most pleasant circumstances to be under when you just arrived in the White House.
Of course, the typical media gushing over the new president, vice president, but it was a little different tone in the White House briefing room at week's end. The White House reporters were actually asking some fairly legitimate questions.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of people, Rick, wondering about what the potential relationship is going to be between President Biden and his staff and his administration and the press. And we turn to the Hollywood Reporter for an opinion on this. I thought this was pretty smart. And that's an industry source. They follow everything from movies and politics to policy and chit-chat. So here's what they have to say. Is a full return to normalcy possible? There may again be daily press briefings and more on-camera interviews with mainstream journalists, but still it would be foolish to assume that the media will enjoy all the access that it wishes. The Obama administration was criticized for being more restrictive to the media than past administrations. What's more, many conservative press outlets will be champing at the bit to hold Biden accountable and likely will address any double standards as often as they can. This is coming from Eric Gardner. He's an analyst for The Hollywood Reporter. But this is a pivotal thing, what he said. Finally, as the public's attention shifts in the post-Trump era, many outlets could experience rating declines or suffer readership slumps. That could lead the media industry to become more demanding of the new administration, and it will be worth watching to see how Biden's team responds. And I can't wait for that.
So with the misinformation floating around out there online from all sides of the spectrum, I think Americans are a little concerned about what to believe, who to believe anymore. What's the global take on that?
Yeah, well, if you're feeling weird about everything, you are definitely not alone. I came across, literally, this is a monster poll from Edelman. Now, Edelman is a global communications firm all over the place. They've got like 60 offices around the planet. And they did a very wide-range survey of 34,000 adults in 28 countries, of course, including the United States. And this is what they found. They're calling it their trust barometer. And it's not very good. They say that people don't know where or who to turn to for reliable information. Again, this is a global poll. This is America included. A majority of respondents believe that global leaders, business leaders, and journalists are purposely trying to mislead people by saying things they know are false. The global infodemic has driven trust in all news sources to record lows, with social media and own media the least trusted. And when they say a majority of people around the world that are not trusting the government or business leaders and journalists and so forth, that's up there around 60%. So it's quite a bit. And if you're wondering about that word infodemic, that was actually invented by the World Health Organization to kind of define all this misinformation that has been surrounding us since COVID hit. But anyway, the new Edelman report is citing the stunning gap in opinion among U.S. voters when it comes to the press. It found that 57% of Biden voters said they trusted the news media, compared to only 18% of Trump voters. And according to Richard Edelman, he's the CEO of this huge group, this is the era of information bankruptcy, he says. And one thing that's quite a takeaway here, Rick, here's a quote from him. He says, "We've been lied to by those in charge, and media sources are seen as polarized and biased. The result is a lack of quality information and increased divisiveness. 57% of Americans find the political and ideological polarization so extreme that they believe the U.S. is in the midst of a civil war." So if you thought that, you're not alone. Again, this is Edelman. Poll of 34,000 people around the world, including the United States. So something to keep in mind.
Well, if you were watching MSNBC or CNN as President Trump departed Washington for the last time as president, they didn't exactly give him a fond farewell. It was really low rent. But there are two columnists, at least, that had some positives on President Trump.
Yeah, well, there were some rounds of applause out there, but I happened to pick out these two just as sort of an idea of some of the things. You will recognize one of these names. This is coming from Dick Morris. Remember him from the Clinton era and so forth? Anyway, he wrote a column for the Western Journal, and here's what he said. "Despite a level of condemnation by the media that dwarfs anything to which Richard Nixon, Bill Clinton, Herbert Hoover, or Ulysses Grant were subjected to, Donald Trump ranks as one of our great presidents." Coming from Dick Morris. "Nixon once said, the history is written by liberals, so don't count on any objectivity. But we, Trump's supporters, need to keep the memory of his record in mind so we can unpack it for the next election." Again, that's coming from Dick Morris. Then we're going to switch over to Howie Carr. He is a columnist for the Boston Herald. Here's what he has to say. "Thanks for everything, President Trump. Thanks for the balance in my 401k, tax cuts for the middle class, and destroying ISIS. thank you, Mr. President, for everything you've done. It shouldn't be ending this way, but I and 74 million other Americans just want to thank you for all your efforts on our behalf over the past 4 years, actually since you came down the escalator at Trump Tower back in the summer of 2015. And that's coming from Howie Carr. And he also, after that statement, cited 40 ways that he felt that Mr. Trump had bettered the nation.
Melania Trump was the consummate statement in fashion, even though Vogue was pathologically obsessed with their anti-Trump feelings, so they never acknowledged it. But she was quite the gracious first lady.
Absolutely. And certainly, I think in my travels as the Beltway columnist, I always ran into people that referred to Melania Trump as our beautiful first lady. Melania Trump was a very gracious first lady, and certainly I've heard over the years that many Trump fans referred to her as our beautiful first lady. But she left behind a farewell video to the American people. It's probably still out there on YouTube if you want to find it. And she had a, when she closed her video, it was about 3 minutes long, she closed it with a very candid wish. This is what she said. The promise of this nation belongs to all of us. Do not lose sight of your integrity and values. Use every opportunity to show consideration for another person and build good habits in your daily lives. Together as one national family, we can continue to be the light of hope for future generations and carry on America's legacy of raising our nation to greater heights through our spirit of courage, goodness, and faith. No words can express the depth of my gratitude for the privilege of having served as your First Lady to all the people of this country. You will be in my heart forever. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Again, that's Mrs. Trump in her farewell video.
The pathetic anchors at CNN and MSNBC were poking at the size of the crowd at Joint Base Andrews as President Trump was leaving Washington. I'm not sure that any old Trump supporter could just walk into Joint Base Andrews these days waving a Trump flag, so I would assume that was a tight crowd of people who had to be cleared and invited. But regardless of that, what about the public's final goodbye to President Trump?
Well, this is something that didn't get reported. Yes, you did see all of that stuff going on at Andrews, but I came across the final dispatch from the White House about President Trump. And this dispatch came, you know, we get them emailed to us in the press as they come forth. So this was very current. This happened, this was filed about 13 minutes before President Trump left office. I mean, literally left office. And here is what Rob Crilly, he is the White House correspondent of the Washington Examiner, had to say. He said, there were no crowds or greeters at the airport. This is when President Trump and his family were arriving in Palm Beach, Florida. But supporters had gathered at key points along the route. Some had Trump Pence 2020 flags. Many wore red MAGA hats. They say the pro-Trump crowd stretched a couple of miles before the bridge on Palm Beach Island, two or three deep in places. We love you, 45. Support our police were among the signs along the route. Again, this is coming from Rob Crilly, White House correspondent of the Washington Examiner. The motorcade traveled at a crawl, not like the usual race down the road, slowing at each group, presumably so the president could take in the support and wave. And the final missive coming from Mr. Crilly, this came at 11:47 a.m. That's 13 minutes before Mr. Trump officially left his office at high noon. He said, the pool is holding outside Mar-a-Lago. That means the press pool there. By some mystical powers, the presidential pool will dissolve in Palm Beach at midday to be replaced by the presidential pool in D.C. For IT reasons, I'm handing over to in-town Biden pool now so that the messages can all be passed. Okay, but the pool will monitor things here until midday, just in case, Mr. Crilly said. And he thanked his fellow poolers on this historic day for keeping things on the straight and narrow. So that's kind of what you didn't hear coming out of Florida. And Mr. Crilly titled his dispatch, Closing Up in Palm Beach. Now, again, that was just a few minutes before Trump actually left office.
Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway, The Washington Times. As always, thank you. And you can follow her on Twitter at Harper Bulletin.
Thanks a lot, Rick. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you. It's 6:50. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL, so we're talking a lot about impeachment these days. If you were going to defend the president, how would you handle it? We'll ask Jim Trusty, our legal counsel. That's next here on WMAL. But first, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Virginia, in Fairfax, watch out for an accident on eastbound 66 at 123. That's blocking the center lane. It is causing delays. But the overnight road work on 66 east and westbound in the vicinity of 123 looks like that has been picked up. In Fredericksburg, a heads up, there is an accident that has Route 1 closed in both directions at the Spotsylvania Parkway, so follow police direction around this incident. Otherwise, no other problems report in Virginia, and looks like everything is in good shape in Maryland on the Capitol Beltway throughout Montgomery and Prince George's County. Now from GarageDroidPair.com, the WMAL Storm Watch 7 forecast.
A wintry chill has settled in across the DMV this morning. We're starting off with temperatures in the 20s and feels like temperatures in the teens at times. A gusty northwest wind will continue for the rest of the day, so highs in the mid to upper 30s this afternoon will still feel like the 20s. Sunshine is our saving grace. Tomorrow expect more clouds, less wind, and highs in the upper 30s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
32 degrees in the nation's capital at 6:51.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Saturday morning update on WMAL. Glad you've joined us, and we're joined by Jim Trusty. He is a partner at IFRA Law here in Washington. He's the former chief of the Organized Crime and Gang Section at the U.S. Department of Justice. Jim, always great to have your legal perspectives on the show.
Thanks. Always great to be here with you.
So we saw the snap impeachment in the House. What does that mean as they make plans for the Senate trial, now scheduled to begin the week of February 8th? What kind of an impact does that have, if any, on a Senate trial?
Well, you know, fundamentally, you expect there to be some sort of due process, like using actual evidence. And here, we just basically have the accusation without any sort of factual findings, any sort of evidence. I think the way it's being set up by the Senate might be a pretty smart move by McConnell, which is to just basically say, let's start February 8th and let's talk about a timetable at that point. And I think what he's inviting is really not a discussion on the merits of the accusation yet, but procedural type things. I mean, if I'm representing President Trump, first thing I'm doing is saying he's not the president anymore. It's a present tense requirement for removal and move to dismiss the impeachment. And so I think that might be what's in the works. And, of course, if you think of it politically, that's probably the most attractive option for Republican Senate to basically do it on procedural grounds rather than wading into the question of incitement.
So emotions among congressmen and senators last week, obviously very high after what they went through at the Capitol, and that resulting in that snap impeachment. But the charge that the former president will face in the Senate is incitement. Does an article of impeachment for incitement, does that have a legal basis, and can that be proved when there is due process?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, it was Gerald Ford that basically said when the Constitution refers to high crimes and misdemeanors, or treason, bribery, high crimes and misdemeanors, it really means whatever Congress says it is. So there's this kind of fundamental legal dispute over what does it take to be impeached? Does it have to be a crime? But here they cite a specific federal statute. They cite incitement to insurrection. And that is a real problem if you're trying to remove or disqualify President Trump, because there's really two fundamental issues. The first is that statute requires a specific intent to create a violent overthrow of the government. And frankly, I don't think it's there, no matter how much you demonize President Trump's actual motivation. What he said does not reflect the specific intent to cause violent overthrow. But then related to that, I think this is the fundamental flaw. The words that are said that are supposedly the gravamen of the offense are given their ordinary and reasonable meaning. And so that means, and I think we talked about this last week a little bit, that you can't translate peaceful into violent. When the president says we're going to have a peaceful protest, you can't say, well, I know what he really meant under the law. So I think the best case scenario for impeachment is it fails on its face because they've alleged a specific crime that cannot be met on the evidence, at least as we know it at this point. And so on the merits, I think the president should be acquitted just based on the fact that they've charged something that's not present.
So it's a higher bar for a conviction in a trial in the Senate than just what the House did in one day?
Well, that actually goes to the procedural problem here, which is, yes, the House is supposed to be the accusational body and the trial body or the removal body is the Senate, but they didn't develop any evidence. And so we're in this strange posture where all we have is a bunch of kind of emotionalism and decisions based on public media rather than actual evidence, affidavits, testimony, anything of that like. So in a lot of ways, the Senate removal process is much more challenging, much more difficult when it's not really clear what they're supposed to be assessing here. And I think that's the one thing that kind of baits court action here, that if they were to go forward and if they were to disqualify the president, then maybe the Supreme Court would actually get involved just because this is so far away from any form of due process that we would expect in something this important, that they could actually decide there's a constitutional problem.
I have a press release from the Texas Attorney General's office. Ken Paxton filed a complaint and motion for temporary restraining order in the United States District Court for the Southern District of Texas, asking the court to immediately halt the Department of Homeland Security's DHS freeze on deportations of illegal aliens. So within the first 48 hours, the Biden administration has its first lawsuit filed against it.
Well, you know, a lot of state attorney generals have made a living the last 4 years filing suit against Donald Trump. So I think the floodgates are open in terms of how much litigation we're going to see on policy issues like immigration.
Jim, in your experience at the Department of Justice in the organized crime and gang section, I would assume you were involved in cases with MS-13. What do we need to know about these federal immigration laws?
Well, you know, the immigration laws that I used, and I was doing MS-13 cases for the better part of about 10 years, were tools to a greater good. I mean, it wasn't that we had some sort of consensus on immigration in general or feelings about illegal versus legal, but there were federal statutes that were on point that allowed us to do more than just have a revolving door for gang members. And I can tell you, MS-13 replenishes all the time in the metropolitan D.C. area because of that revolving door. We would see it live. We'd have people indicted for racketeering offenses, and we'd suddenly see a replenishment. We'd see more guys coming up from El Salvador, sometimes from Guatemala or Honduras as well. And I remember specifically prosecuting gang members that I couldn't tie into the RICO cases, but that had immigration offenses. And so, you know, they'd be convicted of an aggravated felony in the United States, deported, and come back almost immediately. We had one guy that went to trial on that kind of charge, and I felt like I was looking at his high school yearbook. I mean, there was just picture after picture in his alien file, as they call it, of him being deported when he was 14, when he was 16, when he was 18, when he was 20. And he kept coming back to participate in violence. So, again, you don't have to look to the macro equation of immigration to realize on a micro level, these laws are pretty important and they can contribute to doing things like dismantling or at least trying to dismantle major transnational gangs like MS-13.
Jim Trusty, partner at IFRA Law here in Washington. You can follow him on Twitter at Trusty Lawyer. Jim, thank you as always.
Sure. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Will do. We've got 7 o'clock news coming up with Heather Curtis. Then we are back with John Gizzi, Cheryl Atkinson, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and KT McFarland. Stay with us.
Set up your Amazon Echo to hear Rush weekdays noon to 3.
It's not complicated at all.
For one-time setup, say, Alexa, enable WMAL skill. Then to listen, just say, Alexa, open WMAL.
People in this audience are fully informed.
Details at WMAL.com.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your Sleep Number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Save $1,000 on the Sleep Number 360 Special Edition Smart Bed. Queen, now $1,799, plus special financing. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
WMAL.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.